Morning. Mother's Day, how cool is that? Now, a lot of wives want their husbands to do something special for them on Mother's Day, so guys, maybe you can do what Ben Webb did. You know, Ben's the big guy who's kicking me out of my office. Anyway, Christina, his wife, asked Ben, "Why don't you treat me like you did when we were first dating?" So Ben took her to dinner and a movie and dropped her off at her parents' house. He's young. See some hands. How many of you guys have heard of dad jokes? Okay, a lot of people out there are lying already. If your hand's not up, you're lying like a dog. Have you ever heard of mom jokes? It is a legitimate genre. Google it, you're going to find all these websites. I thought a couple might be appropriate for Mother's Day. So here's one. Good moms let their kids lick the beaters. Great moms turn them off first. Another one. Being a mother of a teenager is finally understanding why some animals eat their young. You buy that? My mom used to have a fear of hurdles. She got over it. Hold on a minute. I'm going to go back. Go back to previous. Never mind. Yeah. All right. Here we go. I'm going to just tell him. You can just kind of follow along. My mom went to the store to buy a camouflage jacket. Couldn't find one. How about this one? If a kid refuses a nap, is it guilty of resisting arrest? What did the mommy spider say to the baby spider? "You're spending too much time on the web." And just one more. When a first child eats dirt, mom calls a doctor. When a second child eats dirt, mom cleans out their mouth. When a third child eats dirt, mom wonders if she needs to still make lunch. It's true, isn't it? I've got more. Oh, enough of that nonsense. Let's pray together. God, we're in your presence, and it's a special thing. And so we pray now that the words of our mouths and the thoughts of our hearts will please you. In the name of Jesus, your Son, we pray. Amen. Okay, you may not know that for some ladies, Mother's Day is really, really hard. In fact, there are a lot of ladies who skip church on Mother's Day, and we get it. Some ladies don't want to be a mom. Others do want to be a mom, but they're not married or they're barren. It can be hard. A lot of mothers have broken families. Loveless, maybe. Prodigals, maybe. And that's hard. Mother's Day stings. But we're going to try to approach it from a little different perspective this morning. We figure that most everybody in the room has a mom. You buy that? Most everyone. There are some that we wonder. And so if you want, there is someone you can honor on Mother's Day, your mom. And our focus this morning is going to be on something way bigger than just honoring moms on Mother's Day. We're going to drill down on something that matters to all of us. You'll see. But to get there, I want to start here. Why Capital City Christian Church? What are we doing here? What are we about? It starts here, guys. Because here at Cap City, we really believe there's a God. Do you? In fact, we believe it takes too much faith to be an atheist. We believe that there is a big G, transcendent, all-powerful, all-knowing, eternal creator God. And we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, God in a bod. We believe that God the Father confirmed that when he raised Jesus from the dead. So when Jesus says, "I am the way to God, I am the truth of God, and I am the life that you were meant to live," we buy it. So we believe you need Jesus. You need Jesus for now and for forever. It's not just about making you feel better if you're down. If Jesus is just about making you happy and you're already happy, then you don't need Jesus. We believe you need Jesus because you're a mess spiritually. You're a sinner. You're separated from God, and it's a mess that you can't fix. In fact, we believe that we're not just spiritually broken or spiritually sick. Jesus didn't come here to make sick people better. He came here to make dead people live, which includes us. You believe that? We do. So we believe you need Jesus both for now and for forever. We also believe that doing life with God, for God, God's way, will make your life better. Because you were created by God for that. So when your life just ain't working right, you need Jesus. But it's bigger than that, because we believe that death is not the end. We believe that someday you will stand before God, and what happens next is all about where you stand with Jesus. So you need Jesus for forever too. Which means, listen guys, your kids need Jesus desperately. Your grandkids need Jesus desperately. And that matters to us more than life itself. Your parents, grandparents, sisters, brothers need Jesus. Your friends, neighbors need Jesus. Your enemies need Jesus. No kidding. Our world desperately needs Jesus more than anything else. Just read the papers. Spend 15 minutes on the social media. Surf the news. You think? There's a guy named Penn Jillette. He's the Penn and Teller guy. Some of you probably have heard of him. He's an atheist. And here's what he says. He says, if you really believe that there's a heaven and a hell, and if you think it's not worth telling them, sorry about that, if you think it's not worth telling them that because it would make it socially awkward for you, how much do you have to hate somebody not to share Jesus? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell them? He's right. Guys, is there anyone close to you that doesn't know Jesus? Kid, grandkid, brother, sister, mom, dad, neighbor, friend, colleague? How much would you have to hate them if you believe in Jesus and not share that with them? Bottom line, guys, we are broken, sinful creatures. Without Jesus, the choices we have made will separate us from God. And when immersed in sin, we live an empty life in this world and face eternal death in the next. So bottom line, we need his truth and we need his grace. We need his strength, his life, his purpose, his joy, his peace. We need his hope. We need Jesus. And that's our why here at Cap City. And it's been the why of Jesus' followers ever since the day Jesus went back to the Father. I'll show you. Now you can see our why out there on the wall in our foyer where it says, go and make Christ-driven 24/7 Jesus followers. That is our paraphrase of what is called the Great Commission. The Great Commission given by God to every single Jesus follower for all of time. Here's what the Gospel of Matthew actually says. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority, all of it, in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go, make disciples of all the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, and teach them, these new disciples, to obey all the commands that I've given you. And be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, these are the final words of Jesus to his disciples in the Gospel of Matthew. Ben and I have been preaching this red letter series about some of the most powerful words of Jesus, and these are some of the biggest. So I'm going to try to unpack them this morning and see what they mean for us, especially today here at Cap City. So here's the setting. Just like Jesus had predicted, he'd been arrested, tried, beaten, and crucified until he was very, very dead. That was Friday. On Sunday, just like he had predicted, Jesus walked out of his tomb, blew their minds. All that took place in Jerusalem. After that, he told his disciples to go meet him in Galilee, about 100 miles to the north, and to wait for him. And they did. And there's this weird little verse 17. When they saw him coming, I suspect, they worshiped him, no kidding, and some doubted. That's weird. Doubted what? That he was really alive? Maybe they doubted that they couldn't believe their eyes? Too good to be true? Doubted maybe that he was really like God in a bod? Or maybe he was just at a distance, and some of them, when they saw him, said, it's Jesus, started worshiping, and others were wondering, is it really him? I don't know. In any case, within minutes, Jesus is standing in front of them, alive. Days ago, he was dead. And he starts out with this. He says, I've been given by God all authority in heaven and on earth. In other words, Jesus looks at them and he says, I am the boss of everything. I am the boss of everyone. He says to us, I am the boss of you. You buy that? You buy it personally? It's a staggering claim, guys. It's a claim only worthy of God. Because any man making that claim would be an arrogant lunatic, right? And it's the foundation for the commission that follows. Because Jesus is about to give some marching orders, a mission that we are not to blow off. I know sometimes we throw on words like this, who made you the boss of me? Or it's my life. You can't tell me what to do. And Jesus looks you in the face and he says, all authority, all of it, in heaven and on earth, is mine. The big G, transcendent, all-powerful, all-knowing, eternal creator God, has made me Lord. To which we respond, yes, sir. You buy that? You do that? Then it gets to where the rubber hits the road. Here's what it says in English. Now, go make disciples of all of the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach these disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And that's a great English translation, but Matthew didn't write these words in English. He wrote them in Greek. And in Greek, it's all one long sentence with one main verb. The verb is make disciples. Make disciples. That's the mission. And it's a mission for every single one of us, not just a few. In fact, you could legitimately translate it, all you all make disciples. That's a word in Kentucky, right? All y'all? All you all make Kentuckys. Make Kentucky, right. Make disciples. Go make Jesus followers. Now, do you know what a disciple is? In Greek, the word literally means it's a learner. But back then, it's way more than just a learner. It's not just a person who learns something about somebody. It's not even about somebody who believes something in Jesus. There are way too many wussy disciples in our churches today. A disciple is a Jesus follower. Someone who tries to follow in the footsteps of our rabbi, our teacher. Someone who wants to see the world like he sees it, to feel like he feels, to think like he thinks, to do what he would do. And these are not optional add-ons for the super saints. This is what he calls all of us to do, to be disciples who make disciples, to be Jesus followers who make Jesus followers. So there's one main verb, make disciples, and then there are three what are called participles, which kind of tell us how to get it done. As you go, baptize and teach. As you go, as you do life, make disciples. Baptizing them, starting them off in their Jesus following, and then teaching them to obey all of the commands that I've given to you. In other words, drag them to heaven. In other words, Jesus says, do whatever you can to help birth them as Jesus followers, and then do whatever you can to grow them up. Now, I know that there are other ways to translate this as you go. I don't think Jesus is telling every single one of you guys to be a missionary in some far-off place. I think he's telling every single one of us to take Jesus wherever we go, home, school, work, wherever. Bottom line, if you consider yourself a Jesus follower, if you accept that Jesus is your Lord, the boss of you, are you doing it? Not just talking the talk. Do the people in your life, as you go, can they tell that you're a Jesus follower down to the depth of your soul? Because it doesn't matter what we say if they can't see it in how we live, right? Two more participles, baptize and teach. You guys baptize, not me. You guys teach, not me. Scary, isn't it? Because for many of us, that's what we pay others for, right? Guys like Ben and me, John, Derek, Aaron, Jess, Vern. Guys, I love the way we do it here at Cap City. And it's on purpose. We have done 52 baptisms so far this year. It is cool. And I've done one. I think that's cool. Altogether, 31 of our church family have baptized someone this year. 31. Do you understand how cool that is? Moms and dads, brothers, sisters, friends, classmates, neighbors, colleagues. Do you get how cool that is? Guys, we love it when whoever it is that has been used by God to nudge someone towards Jesus gets to be the one doing the dunking. Because why should the pastors have all the fun? But it's not just about dunking somebody. You know, bottom line, I've dunked a whole lot of people without baptizing. Julie and I have had pools for a long time, and I loved dunking people when I could. It was just cool. But Jesus isn't talking about just getting someone wet. He's talking about doing whatever we can for people we care about to make the most important decision of their life to accept Jesus as Savior and Lord, because we believe there's a God and Jesus is the Son of God. And we believe that every single person in our life is broken without Jesus. We believe that every person we do life with needs His truth and His grace. Do you believe that? You see, guys, baptism just represents the outer sign of what we're doing on the inside. We're dying to the old and rising to a brand new life. We're receiving His cleansing and inviting His Holy Spirit to take over inside. And Jesus says, as you do life, wherever you do life, make disciples. Make Jesus followers. To begin with, by helping them make that decision to surrender their life to Jesus as their Savior and their Lord. But that's just the starting point. We're not done. Jesus goes on to say, now teach them to obey all of the commands that I've given you. All of them. You know why? Because doing life with God, for God, God's way, will make your life better. We believe that. It will make their life better. I'm serious. And if you believe that, do you see why it is so important for those that you say that you love? Guys, being a Jesus follower isn't about just getting baptized and then going about doing life your way. It isn't about just believing and then doing just enough to give you a shot at heaven if there happens to be one. It's about being a disciple, a Jesus follower, doing life with God, for God, God's way, because we believe it's the best way to live. And it's our orders. Jesus says, I'm the boss of everything. Now go make disciples. And He's not telling us that because He's a control freak. See, the one who created us actually thinks it's the best way to live. It's what He created us for. Wherever you are, He says, whatever else you may be doing, you're a recruiter. Help people get started in their Jesus following and then help do whatever it takes to drag them to heaven. That's our great commission. Now, let's get to where the rubber hits the road. Three applications of this Great Commission for this church family this Mother's Day. Application number one. This is for those of you who have had the honor of baptizing someone or will, because guys, there's no greater honor. We are doing something a little different this year at Cap City. We should have been doing it all along, but bottom line, we didn't think of it. We messed up. But here's what we're doing. We are not only sending letters to those that we baptize, we're also sending letters to those who are doing the baptizing. Because if that's you, your job is just starting. Baptizing's the fun part. What may be even more important is what comes next. The fact that you were in the baptistry baptizing someone proves that you were a positive influence for Jesus. But now it's time to pivot to teaching these new disciples to obey all of the commands that I've given to you. Drag them to heaven part. So I want to read a couple of paragraphs of the letter that we're sending out to our baptizers. And I hope that every one of you gets this letter someday. Here it is. This is what we wrote. Thank you for the incredible role that you have played in someone's spiritual journey. What an honor it is to baptize someone. Baptism is a sacred and joyful moment, publicly declaring a new life in Christ, and you were the one standing with them as they took that step of faith. But as you know, The journey does not end at the water. In many ways, it's just beginning. The time after baptism can be especially fragile. It's a new beginning, but also a time of spiritual vulnerability, doubt, and temptation. Those first moments and years are critical. That's why your influence matters even more now. God helped use you to bring someone this far, and he can continue to use you as a steady presence in their growth. Walk with them. Speak life into them. Keep showing up. We were never meant to do this thing alone. In fact, the Christian life is one long, grace-filled struggle where, as we like to say, we drag each other to heaven. So keep dragging. Keep praying, encouraging, pointing them back to Jesus. You don't have to have all the answers. You just have to have a willing heart and a persistent love. Not just celebrate the moment. Let's invest in the journey. You buy that? You're not going to have to do it alone. That's where church family comes in. We'll try to help with the teaching part best we can. But it's on you too. Baptizing them and teaching them to do life with God, God's way. And always remember this, guys. Your most powerful teaching will not be in your words. It'll be your example, your model, your commitment to doing life with God, for God, God's way. In fact, unless they see you being a serious Jesus follower, they likely won't listen to a word you say. That's application number one, commission to our baptizers. Here's number two, and I want to talk to the parents and the grandparents in this room. Moms, dads, grandparents, your first job, your most important job is to do whatever you can to nudge your kids towards Jesus. Do you believe that? Do you understand that? We're Jesus followers. There's nothing more important if there's a God and Jesus is the Son of God. And I know, guys, that you won't be able to force your kids to make good decisions. I wish we could. But we can give them the best chance they have to choose Jesus as Savior and Lord. That's our prime directive as parents and grandparents. I know you're going to have other goals. We want our kids to be healthy. We want them to be financially secure. We want them to be well-liked. We want them to be successful as students, athletes, whatever. But that stuff is trivial. It's trifling, insignificant compared to their relationship with Jesus. Do you get that? Do you live that way? Guys, I have kids. I have grandkids. I cannot express to you how precious they are to me. I want them to have a great life here on this earth. And more than that, I want them to spend eternity loving God and being loved on by God. Isn't that what you want for your kids and grandkids? Now, I am not going to be able to choose Jesus for them, unfortunately. They're going to have to make that call themselves. But I will be an influence on them, whether for good or for bad. And my most powerful influence on them will not be in what I say. It will be by my model. How will they see me do life? How will they see me finish? You see, my life with God is not just about me and God. It's about Aubrey and Caden and Jackson and Stephen and Morgan and Andy and Alethea, Tommy, Monica, Julie. I cannot imagine an eternity without any one of them. So I want to be willing to do whatever I can to drag them to heaven with me. Wouldn't you? If you're a normal parent, grandparent, I suspect you wish you could go back and undo some of the things you have done. And if you're a Jesus follower, I suspect that when you're dying, when you're looking back, there will be nothing more important to you than how those we love are doing with God. And yet too often we don't live like that's the most important task. Our lives become so self-absorbed, and too often we cater to our kids living lives that are so self-absorbed. Guys, your goal as a Jesus-following parent is to see that your kids get baptized and learn to obey all that Jesus commanded, because it's right. It's the best way to live, and we don't want anything less for our kids. Listen, guys, if you believe there's a God, If you believe Jesus is the Son of God, if you believe that He is the way, the truth, and the life like He claimed to be, how much would you have to hate your kid? How much would you have to hate your grandkid not to do whatever you can to nudge them towards Jesus? What could possibly be more important to you as a parent? And remember, guys, they won't listen to your words unless you show it in your actions. Are you showing them what a genuine Jesus follower looks like? You have a job to do. Application number one, our baptizers. Application number two, our parents and our grandparents. Application number three, our grads. And the rest of us. In a few weeks, perhaps months, most of our grads are going to be facing one of the biggest decisions of their life. There's going to be no pressure now. No parents nagging, no friends waiting. It's Sunday morning and you're going to have to make a decision. Is weekly worship going to be part of your life or not? Monday, Tuesday, the rest of the week, are you going to make doing life with God, for God, God's way, the centerpiece of your life or not? You see, at that point, it's going to be your choice. What's it going to be? Jesus said, all authority in heaven on earth is mine. I'm your Lord. Now go make disciples. So are you going to do it? And I know all of us, our grads, are going to have a lot of dreams. Marriage, maybe. Job, maybe. Freedom, money, fun. But do you understand that as a Jesus follower, all our dreams are trivial compared to our number one job, which is to live as a Jesus follower and nudge others to do the same. So you're going to be entering a season of life when you're going to be tempted to marginalize Jesus. It'll be a time of your life when your support system is going to be changing and you're going to have to choose, because if you don't choose, the world is going to choose for you. It's going to be tough because for most of you, you have been able to live a rather self-absorbed life. And now you're going to have to choose, is it my life or is it His? What's your call? And that's going to influence or impact how you influence the others that you do life with. You're as you go. And here it is, guys. If you really believe that there is a God, and if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that everyone needs Jesus for now and for forever. Now listen, I'm going to put it hard. How much would you have to hate those you're doing life with not to nudge them towards Jesus? How much would you have to hate your girlfriend, boyfriend, roommates, classmates, the guys you work with, serve with, not to nudge them towards Jesus? Those you do life with are not there for your pleasure. They're His. And always remember this, guys. Your primary influence will not be in what you say. It'll be in who you are and what you do. So guys, be disciples. Be Jesus followers. It is the best gift that you can give anybody that you love. Guys, this commission is for all of us. In fact, to be a Jesus follower means we accept this commission. So put some faces to it. Who are you doing life with right now that you flat out love that needs Jesus? Who are you doing life right now with that you should flat out love who needs Jesus? Bottom line, are you nudging them towards Jesus? And if they're already Jesus followers, are you doing whatever you can to help drag them towards heaven? There are people in your life who are broken, hurting. There are people in your life who are pursuing way lesser dreams, sometimes lesser gods. Do you understand that whoever you are right now, you're making disciples of those in your life? The question is, of whom? Are you dragging the people in your life towards Jesus or not? Our choice. Now, guys, Jesus closes off this great commission with a promise. He says, be sure of this. He says, I am with you always to the end of the age, which means He's here, right now, right here. In fact, that's one way we know that this commission is for all of us, because the disciples to whom He originally addressed these words, they're dead. He's telling us here, right here at Cap City, I know it's going to be hard. Sometimes it's going to be lonely. But you will never be alone. And I will give you the strength to get it done if you let me. So will you let him? If you're a Jesus follower, guys, you have a purpose for your life. If you're a Jesus follower, you can make a difference. How cool is that? So let's get it done. If you're not a Jesus follower, guys, let's get it done. That's the biggest decision anybody can make, right? If you are a Jesus follower, ask yourself the question, have I accepted the commission that God has given to me as my Savior and my Lord? If you want to talk about making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, I'm going to be sitting right up front. I think I'm going to sit right there. And sometime during the service or right after the service, come down, let's talk. There's an elder praying for you in that prayer room in the back there. Or I'm going to hang out here at the end of the service. Let's talk. Let's get it done. Let's pray together. Father, you're a God of truth and grace. Staggering grace. Give us the wisdom to do life your way. We love you dearly. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.